Hello and welcome to this week's Oxcast Extra. I'm talking to Darwin Dees. You're coming with your new tour, touring the UK and then heading off around the rest of the world in October. Have you been to Oxford before? Have you visited us?
Yeah, definitely.
How did you find it?
You know, it was interesting. It was kind of exciting to be in the, I guess, the birthplace of Bowles and some other bands. And I remember going to a bar with Orlando from Totally Enormous Extinct Dinosaurs once, and we just sat and hung out, and later he and I went on tour together around the UK, which was awesome. I love his music, and we found out that we were both obsessed with jungle and drum and bass music when we were teenagers, and that was what we used to do. But now I do like rock music and he does house, so
yeah. And so how does that relate to your music then? I mean, you started off with jungle and stuff in the same place. Did it move? Have you just moved way beyond? Or do you still feel that influence is still there?
Well, I mean, I think it's there. Like the first thing I started off was guitar and songwriting on the guitar. That was when I was 11. But that only lasted for a couple of years and I sort of plateaued pretty quickly skill-wise.
Okay.
It was extremely frustrating.
Yeah.
I'm not a very patient person. So I just quit guitar a couple years after starting, having written a bunch of songs. And the thing was, I had just been blown away by, like, the Chemical Brothers had that song with Noel Gallagher come out and The Prodigy. And I was like, this is the future, you know? And I was really psyched about big beat and whatever was, you know, electronic music from the mid-90s. So I got all into that in my teens, from 13 to 18. I was probably just making drum and bass and excited about underground hip-hop and stuff like that. So I think the carryover from that into my music now is that I produce everything at home. Like, when you're making electronic music, you generally just produce yourself and do your own recordings at home. So that's kind of carried over a little bit, I think.
So this tour is now celebrating your new album called Double Down, which is fun. It's your third album. What are you trying to do with it? What's your aim?
The aim is to please, really. The aim on the last record from 2013, Songs for Imaginative People, was more to explore and to please myself with the process of writing music once again and reward myself for touring for a year and a half on 10 songs or something. So yeah, that was, I think, was needed, but I don't think it was as much appreciated right away by people. I honestly think it's like my Pinkerton, because I think the songs are great. It's just that they're not as immediate. They're not as, like, it's really different, you know, from my first record, which is more like the Blue album. And so this one is the Green album. This one, if you're continuing with the Weezer, this one is the, you know, slightly just return to form and 3-minute pop songs like you wanted.
So I read a quote from you that's the point of Double Down is to kind of, it's your intention to repeat yourself. And you said it's kind of in a Ridley Scott type way, things like Prometheus and Blade Runner and Alien, the Ridley Scott directed films that kind of got similar themes, but you don't feel a second of boredom. And that's kind of what this album is. It's you going back to that original and fresh take on your style, your sound.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so possible to repeat yourself without it feeling boring to the listeners, to the audience. I mean, it's, and yeah, the Ridley Scott movies, like, I mean, Alien is so entertaining, and then Prometheus has, like, all the same stuff happen in it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, aliens come out of people's abdomens, blah, blah, blah. Like, one really, really, really tough woman who has to do everything, and, you know, there's people that you didn't know were robots. There's people you're not sure are robots. And it's like all the exact same stuff, except it's totally as entertaining as the first one. So I totally am a believer in just do what you do. And even if it's feels really similar and has some similar themes, it still has like humongous potential to be entertaining, to be satisfying. So.
And we were listening to your album in the office today. And yeah, you've really hit it. It's because obviously the big hits that made you big in the UK certainly were things like Radar Detector.
Constellations.
That's the one. Constellations. We kind of grew up with. Like, I still remember when they came out, and it was when I was starting to properly into music and find my own things. Yeah, and kind of this album goes back to that stuff, which is cool. It's nice to see that it's still going and this stuff can still happen. It still has a place, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a solid pop construction. I think you can't mess with it, you know? I mean, you have to. The thing is, as an artist, you have to mess with it sometimes and get crazy and experiment with different structures and different, like, lyric writing approaches beyond just imagery in the verses and general abstract language in the chorus. Still, I mean, I'm a pop lover, too, so I appreciate pop music, too. It's just, you know, after writing 10 three-minute pop songs over 2 years and just really going for that on my debut, I really had to break out, you know, like I would have burned out. So, but now I was refreshed after experimenting and making four and a half minute songs with interesting structures and starting with the lyrics and just sort of writing a piece of poetry and then putting music around it for a change.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
That was like the record in 2013. And now I'm just sort of back to execution and consolidating what I get the gains from the experimental phase. So it's out there for people to enjoy.
Yeah, cool. So you kind of mentioned that when you were developing with electronic music, that's where you learned to mix and produce, and that's kind of what you did in your bedroom and that. And that's what happened on this album, wasn't it? You kind of assumed all the creative control and played all the instruments, did all the recording and mixing.
Yeah, I mean, I basically did that on the debut. And
oh, did you? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically just my style to do that. On the second record, I could have done it, but I thought it might be a little bit better, and I think it was, by stepping back and having a professional mix.
I suppose especially if you're experimenting, then it's always good to have kind of that external influence to guide you a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a technical aspect to mixing where, you know, you really need to be able to identify, like, what is 100 cycles per second by ear, you know? Like, what is that sound? What is the sound of 2 versus 200 cycles per second? Like, I've been training, like, you can test yourself on this stuff online. like audio engineering ear training, there's tests, and you can, you know, test, well, play a frequency and you'll have to guess which one it is. It's really fun, but that's a whole set of skills you need to be a good mixer, as well as, you know, like having the idea of how to balance things with compressors and whatnot. So I'm learning it, and I really enjoy learning it. I think I'm getting a lot better.
Yeah, well, I mean, to produce a professional album and to actually sound like a professional album is no easy thing.
Well, I
at
hope
all,
it does. So. To me, it sounds a little rough around the edges still, but I like that too.
Yeah, it's kind of a more organic thing, I suppose. It feels a bit, it's just more fun. It's a bit more rough and ready and not, I suppose that's kind of the problem with mainstream pop a lot of the time, is that it gets a lot of complaints about overproduction. I honestly can't hear a rough edge, but if you think it's there, then that kind of is there, isn't it? Yeah.
I agree. Like, the top of the pops can be a bit too shiny sometimes. It feels a little impersonal, you know? So I hear that, definitely.
So a couple of us have seen you live. I've seen you live. Someone else saw you at Truck Festival. So kind of the last time you came around. We just love it. It's this fantastic experience. So for all our listeners that haven't seen you live and haven't seen YouTube videos and stuff, it's so clear that you love what you do and you're passionate about what you do and you have so much fun. And so that comes out as kind of the most quoted thing in the dancing, like these choreographed routines. Where did they come from? Why does it happen?
Thanks, I'm glad you liked the show. That came from a friend of mine had, or still has, this noise rock band called Extreme Animals. His name's Jacob Chiacci. He's actually like family friend from Chapel Hill, but he's, you know, like a visual artist and musician as well. And he has this noise band, and he was doing like noise rock rave sort of stuff, like way before Klaxons or whatever. There was literally like techno rave style breakdown in one of their songs, where there was just like everything, all the music stopped except for this like one very obviously fake piano part. And the piano part was repeating, and it was building tension as bum 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 bum. And you know, they add the skitch, you know.
Yeah.
They add the stuff into it, and while they're doing this, they get up from their instruments and they start doing like a aerobicized routine to kind of hype, just build the hype during the middle of the song. That was where I got the idea. It's like, I'm gonna do that too, and the way we do it is different. Like, Jacob has MIDI tracks that play during his, he plays along to his own MIDI tracks, and he's able to change the sounds in real time with using his fingers, and he sings and stuff over top of it, and he yells. But we don't have that, so what we did was more of like using a Britney Spears song to transition. between songs or to end a show. Just because there's always that moment as a rock band where you've got to banter and you've got to transition between your songs. And thought the dances would be a lot more entertaining of a way of conveying that level of personality than just your typical bar banter. So, I mean, yeah, it's just fun to show what you look like without the guitar. I think it's interesting and it's funny. I mean, like, some of us are bad dancers or some of us are weird dancers. And I think that's really fun to see. And it's easy for me because I'm naturally a good dancer. Like, I have it in my genes. I have it in my bones. I have some African blood in me, so, you know, it's been pre-selected for dancing ability. So that's makes it easy for me. And I'm not the one that has to go up there and look stupid, but in general they do make us look a little bit funny, and so I like that.
No, it's good fun. And what I really like is that, you know, you take all this dancing into your videos as well. I mean, not so much the new video, Kill Your Attitudes. If you haven't watched it, it's kind of like a video game, right? And it's from the point of view of your girlfriend that's kind of first person is playing the girlfriend and kind of steadily getting more and more annoyed at you. And there's no dancing in it, which made me sad. But but no, so it's lots and lots of fun. And so I suppose that's what you're going for in your shows is maximize on the fun, really. What are your plans for the future then? Where do you plan to be heading on from here?
Well, actually, there's another video shoot like next week in London that I'm going to go do. And then we have tour dates through the rest of the year. We'll probably do more touring over the next year. That's all I'm thinking about right now, just tour logistics, fixing my pedal board, greasing the trailer wheels, making sure that we don't have too terrible of any accidents.
Yeah, so cool. So if people want to come and see you, they can catch you on the 26th of October at the O2 Academy. Doors opening at 7. Should be a great show. Like, I'm planning to be there. So it's going to be good fun. Good fun.